peak Josh Allen. I think you ride it out. You're not selling it because it's so good, but you also don't buy it at this price because it still feels crazy. I think up until 3 weeks ago, though, you've always been gaining on your Josh Allen investment, whether you picked him up as a rookie in your rookie draft, whether you picked him up at the beginning of last year. You could kind of see the potential this year when he came out as QB6, and he's like QB3-ish right now. What are you thinking?
Yeah, he looks really good. I really didn't expect him to be this good. I mean, it's only week 3, so he has plenty of time to muck things up. But he's definitely looking better than a lot of quarterbacks who I thought would be doing much better than him. So I don't know. Maybe he signed a deal with the devil. But
perhaps. He feels like a good old country boy. I don't think he would do that. I mean, the Stefon Diggs fit has been absolutely perfect. He was already great before, but it does seem like this kind of put him over the top. So good on you if you were a Diggs owner, and maybe if you were a Diggs buyer and you got, you know, had belief. I do think John Brown is playing at an unsustainable level. Maybe he's just as good, like the real John Brown came out with the real Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still the type of player that I'd prefer to have as good bench depth, bye week fill in. But I'm not feeling great about him long term. How about you?
For Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I don't know. He's always been like kind of a hit or miss. I've never really trusted him that much. I would much rather have Diggs. Yeah. He's supposed to be like a top 10 wide receiver all along, and he didn't quite do that on the Vikings, and he kind of went up to like, I think this season he was ranked maybe like 40th overall, when like a year or two ago he would have been like top 15.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins, he's kind of a bum. we'll lead into that. We'll talk about Minnesota after this.
I was actually surprised by how well Cole Beasley's been playing in that system as well. He's been pretty productive. If he's not like a dynasty like asset, but if you need some bench depth this year, I think he's a good pickup.
Yeah, Cole Beasley is the type of guy who actually just makes your actual starters better. I don't think he's ever going to be fantasy relevant, but he's a real solid NFL player. And when you have players like that who can, you know, consistently perform at a level where they require you to, you know, keep, you know, Cole Beasley keeps defenses honest, which is something that allows players like John Brown and Stefon Diggs to, you know, kind of exploit coverages. I say that I'd like to see Devin Singletary have some great games while Zach Moss is out. I also kind of feel like I'd be okay with him having some terrible games with Zach Moss out, so Zach Moss takes the reins. The three-headed Singletary, Moss, red zone, Josh Allen is not desirable.
It's not working for you.
You said in the notes you want Singletary. I'll take him off your hands because I am a Singletary owner in the league we do together. So give your reasoning why you want him.
Yeah, I just think he has value. I think he's still super young. And he's gonna be the guy for a while Moss is out. And he looked pretty good this week. So I don't know. I definitely think that he's worth something, and you don't seem to like him very much. So I'll take him off your hands if you want.
Yeah, well, we won't bore them with that conversation. Let's talk Minnesota, 0-3. Sure. I did not see them 0-3. Did you?
Yeah, no. I mean, Kirk Cousins, but I mean, they should not have been 0-3. Which teams did they play so far?
They played the Packers.
putting
this week they played the Titans, and I can't recall what week two was, but week two was really bad for Kirk Cousins, because I know in my 2QB league I almost considered starting him because he did start out pretty good against the Packers, and I you know, I don't think that the pieces around him are terrible.
The Colts, yeah.
Yes, the Colts. Oh, because they hurt my boy Paris Campbell. Kirk Cousins, I feel as though, has just become like the reason why NFL quarterback contracts, maybe all of their contracts, are broken. Yeah. I just feel like there's nobody who's, you know, he's going to be a guy who goes down in history as the number one thing people mention is how much money he made at all time.
Yeah. I mean, the Washington football team was not really willing to pay him, except for that second, the second tag. They tagged him twice. So they paid him a lot, but they weren't willing to pay him long-term because they didn't totally buy in.
Yeah. I mean, is there anything worse in professional football than the franchise tag?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely makes contracts a little weird, signing new contracts.
Let's.
But the Vikings also have one of the hardest strength of schedules for the rest of the year behind Houston and New Orleans. So I don't see them getting a ton better.
No, I agree. They should be getting something, a really nice piece to add to that team, although I just don't know what you would use it on. You're married to Kirk Cousins for quite some time, and I mean, I guess you would get something to help the defense, realistically. That secondary is really bad, which in this day and age in the NFL, you're not going to be able to keep up with teams if you have a bad secondary. I kind of thought Adam Thielen would fall off this year. He was a little bit injury prone. I always viewed him as the lesser of the two of the Diggs and him pairing. I would sell him right now just because he's having another monster year, and I don't love the long-term future there. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, Thielen's a stud. I've never been willing to pay what he's worth, so I'd definitely sell him right now, but I don't know, he could, I think he'll continue to be good for the next 3 years at least.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote, I'm not buying or selling anybody at their current prices because I feel like they're like super jacked up. I know that Dalvin Cook, I don't think he's going to be out this week, but he got dinged up this game as well, and it just seems like he's always one step away from like missing you an important game, being out for a four-game stretch. Last year, he was on the sidelines for the fantasy playoffs. Yeah. And a guy who can't handle a whole season, I feel like they just shouldn't be ranked as high.
Yeah, it was a miracle he made it through as much of last season as he did. Like, that was the first time, right?
Yeah, I mean, he torn ACLs. I'm not quite sure of his entire injury history, but he's missed quite a bit of time with injuries. You know, I think we have to acknowledge the Justin Jefferson game. Put up monster stats this week. If you played him in daily fantasy football, I'm sure you're really quite happy with that. But like the potential there for sure. But I'm like, nobody's going to move on from him right now. Like, they just got him. He's showing the potential. You're going to pay probably more today than you would have if you just tried to acquire him in the draft, right?
Yeah.
Anybody else there in Minnesota you want to talk about?
Not really. I think we covered it.
Let's cover, what do we got left for winless teams? We got Atlanta and Cincinnati. Let's do those, and then let's move back to the good teams. Atlanta. Good. Matt Ryan is just going to get you points for a while, it feels like. It just seems like they're going to have to constantly throw the ball, especially with how bad Todd Gurley looks. I think you're starting to look at a razor-thin line on Julio Jones's return, where it just starts declining kind of rapidly, because I think people have been waiting for it for so long. So when they finally start seeing signs of it, that people are just going to be like, nope, not giving you a proper return, even if there's two more seasons of him.
Yeah.
I think if they shift away from Gurley to Brian Hill, who had a touchdown this past week, and I believe I saw in our league, he was projected to get about 6 points, which means ESPN is kind of projecting that he's going to see a bigger role in that backfield. And I have to agree. What do you think?
I think Brian Hill looks really, really good. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, I think Brian Hill looks really, really good. And Gurley was definitely much better this week. He had 80 yards and a touchdown on 14 attempts, which it wasn't that bad. But
one of them a really long run, though?
Yeah, he had some decent runs. I think the most maybe he got was like 20 or 30 yards. I don't think it was like a mega. Like, I don't think he ran. It was all 80 yards on one in one go. But I thought he looked okay. They didn't really pass to him much, though, which I thought was kind of, maybe they've given up on passing to him.
Do you think that they're not passing to him because he isn't good anymore, or it's because the combination of Ridley and Julio is so good, and then Hurst and Gage is pretty good, mm-hmm. and that on passing plays, like, even though he's not bad, that he still might just kind of be the fifth best option?
Yeah, and maybe they haven't gotten to a point in their playbook where they really have pulled that out yet, although they've lost games at the very end, so it's not like they're trying to win games at the end. So maybe they still have parts of their playbook they haven't pulled out.
I suppose, but you'd have to think that if they were able to win games right now, it'd be really helpful to be able to grind out some clock with Gurley.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I don't think they can do, and that's why I kind of think Brian Hill's the guy. If you listened last week and pursued Brian Hill, I think you're a happy camper.
Yeah, definitely.
And I, you know, it's funny. I remember when we were doing the preview, I kind of had like a lengthy write-up for Russell Gage, and we got to it, and I was like, we don't need to talk to about Russell Gage this much, and maybe now's the time to talk about it. He looks like a really good third receiver there, like capable of maybe being a wide receiver three, flex, bye week type guy. Maybe get better on your bench and eventually become like a pretty solid, legitimate player.
Yeah, definitely. I think he looks real good. And Julio, if he takes a step backwards, they might start leaning on him even more. I mean, Julio dropped that ball last week that like he never would have dropped. Like, he was wide open.
Yeah.
I don't know. That
that doesn't seem like him, but I also don't think that would be like because of decline in ability so much as even the greats over their like 10-year career or whatever, you know, however long he's been in it, like eventually you're just gonna screw up. Like, that's just life.
Yeah, that's true. But if he had caught that, his numbers would look so much better right now.
Oh, for sure. And there were a lot of dropped touchdowns this week, or even like DK Metcalf had that.
What an idiot.
He had like an 8-point swing. Should have had a touchdown. Ends up losing 2 points on the fumble. So There's been a lot of dropped touchdowns, I feel, this year, which is maybe an indicator of the no preseason.
Yeah.
All right, let's move to Cincy. Last bad team, 0-3. AJ Green's done, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I know we had said if you had AJ Green, you're probably riding him out for the rest of his career. Maybe he's just the throw-in in a trade. But I don't love that they have a really tough schedule going forward. But it's very, very promising how much throwing work they're giving Burrow.
Yeah, and towards the end of the season, they're going to have a pretty good playoff schedule.
Right. Well, I mean, they have the third hardest remaining schedule, according to a tweet Mike Clay put out yesterday.
Hmm. Yeah, Pro Football Focus has them as one of the best playoff schedules.
Well, so I guess there's conflicting reports based on what's Mr. Clay, but I think you're just gonna have to go through your lumps with somebody like Burrow. But it does seem as though they have a coach that they seem to like. He looks good. I don't think. Well, I've never been a big Joe Mixon guy. I don't think he's as bad as he's been. I love the idea of Boyd and Higgins being the wide receiver core there. It'd be nice to see them. Maybe get a tight end in the offseason and, just keeping the front seven's pretty good there. Like, I think they're an 0-3 team, but there's a lot of promise for next year. And if you're buying guys on that team, that you might not get your return quite yet, but you got to feel good about that core, that offense.
Absolutely. And I mean, Joe Burrow is a rookie quarterback this year and he's doing pretty well. And he might develop further across the season. So you might not even have to wait till next year.
Right. And I mean, they're giving him all the opportunities to grow. And it doesn't seem as though, and he hasn't given them any reason to, pull him.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to a undefeated team, but that I actually think is kind of bad, which is the Chicago Bears. I think they're 3-0 and probably still don't make the playoffs. The quarterback shuffle's not going to do them any good.
Yeah.
If you have to bench your quarterback in week 3, bring a guy in who kind of lucked into winning the game, but he wasn't ever really good enough. Eventually you're going to probably pull him, put the other guy back in. You're not going to just keep like this carousel going and have it be a fantasy relevant option, nor a real life, good choice.
Yeah. And they have one of the better offensive lines. Their offensive line's playing really, really well. And their quarterback play has just not been good at all. And I think some of those throws that Foles made against a better secondary, those would have been interceptions. I don't think they would have come back against a team that wasn't the Falcons.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the 3-0 is a total misnomer. I think they could be 1-2, and that wouldn't be crazy at all. I do like David Montgomery so far, especially now that, he was already a pretty high-volume guy, and Tariq Cohen getting injured might mean him getting more opportunities in the passing downs, and that just means good things for Montgomery owners because – even if he kind of just fails on them, at least he's getting them now. If it's a PPR league and he's catching the ball for, -2 yards and he gets tackled, but you get a point for everyone, that's still 0.8 points. Allen Robinson, I know that there was dispute whether or not he wanted a new contract. I buy him low because he's excelled with terrible quarterbacks, and he is also, if he leaves, There's no way he's going to go to a worse situation, right? Like, I can't imagine he goes and signs with the football team of Washington or the Jets.
Or the Jets. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's a really good wide receiver. I don't know. I don't know why they're not giving him a contract. I guess they don't think they can win.
I mean, that has to be it. Like, they just don't want to commit money to him when they know that the quarterback position is terrible. All right, let's stay NFC North. The Packers are still 3-0. I think this is a little bit scary. Just because I know Rodgers is playing with a chip on his shoulder, but I kind of still think that this wide receiver core between Adams. Technical difficulties. Let's just hop right back in with the Bills. Peak Josh Allen. I think you ride it out. You're not selling it because it's so good, but you also don't buy it at this price because it still feels crazy. I think up until 3 weeks ago, though, you've always been gaining on your Josh Allen investment, whether you picked him up as a rookie in your rookie draft, whether you picked him up at the beginning of last year. You could kind of see the potential this year when he came out as QB6, and he's like QB3-ish right now. What are you thinking?
Yeah, he looks really good. I really didn't expect him to be this good. I mean, it's only week three, so he has plenty of time to muck things up. But he's definitely looking better than a lot of quarterbacks who I thought would be doing much better than him. So I don't know. Maybe he signed a deal with the devil. But
perhaps. He feels like a good old country boy. I don't think he would do that. I mean, the Stefon Diggs fit has been absolutely perfect. He was already great before, but it does seem like this kind of put him over the top. So good on you if you were a Diggs owner, and maybe if you were a Diggs buyer and you got, you know, had belief. I do think John Brown is playing at an unsustainable level. Maybe he's just as good, like the real John Brown came out with the real Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still the type of player that I'd prefer to have as good bench depth, bye week fill in. But I'm not feeling great about him long term. How about you?
For Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I don't know. He's always been like kind of a hit or miss. I've never really trusted him that much. I would much rather have Diggs. Yeah. He's supposed to be like a top 10 wide receiver all along, and he didn't quite do that on the Vikings, and he kind of went up to like, I think this season he was ranked maybe like 40th overall, when like a year or two ago he would have been like top 15.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins, he's kind of a bum. we'll lead into that. We'll talk about Minnesota after this.
I was actually surprised by how well Cole Beasley's been playing in that system as well. He's been pretty productive. He's not like a dynasty like asset, but if you need some bench depth this year, I think he's a good pickup.
Yeah, Cole Beasley is the type of guy who actually just makes your actual starters better. I don't think he's ever going to be fantasy relevant, but he's a real solid NFL player. And when you have players like that who can, you know, consistently perform at a level where they require you to, you know, keep, you know, Cole Beasley keeps defenses honest, which is something that allows players like John Brown and Stephon Diggs to, you know, kind of exploit coverages. I say that I'd like to see Devin Singletary have some great games while Zach Moss is out. I also kind of feel like I'd be okay with him having some terrible games with Zach Moss out. So Zach Moss takes the reins. The three-headed Singletary Moss red zone Josh Allen is not desirable.
It's not working for you.
You said in the notes you want Singletary. I'll take him off your hands because I am a Singletary owner in the league we do together. So give your reasoning why you want him.
Yeah, I just think he has value. I think he's still super young. And he's gonna be the guy for a while Moss is out. And he looked pretty good this week. So I don't know. I definitely think that he's worth something, and you don't seem to like him very much. So I'll take him off your hands if you want.
Yeah, well, we won't bore them with that conversation. Let's talk Minnesota, 0-3. Sure. I did not see them 0-3. Did you?
Yeah, no. I mean, Kirk Cousins, but I mean, they should not have been 0-3. Which teams did they play so far?
They played the Packers.
Putting
this the week, they played the Titans, and I can't recall what week two was, but week two was really bad for Kirk Cousins, because I know in my 2QB league, I almost considered starting him because he did start out pretty good against the Packers. And I, you know, I don't think that the pieces around him are terrible.
The Colts. Yeah.
Yes, the Colts. Oh, because they hurt my boy Paris Campbell. Kirk Cousins, I feel as though, has just become like the reason why NFL quarterback contracts, maybe all of their contracts are broken. I just feel like there's nobody who's, you know, he's going to be a guy who goes down in history as the number one thing people mention is how much money he made his all time.
Yeah. I mean, the Washington football team was not really willing to pay him, except for that second, the second tag. They tagged him twice. So they paid him a lot, but they weren't willing to pay him long-term because they didn't totally buy in.
Yeah. I mean, is there anything worse in professional football than the franchise tag?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely makes contracts a little weird, signing new contracts. But the Vikings also have one of the hardest strength of schedules for the rest of the year behind Houston and New Orleans. So I don't see him getting a ton better.
No, I agree. They should be getting something, a really nice piece to add to that team. Although I just don't know what you would use it on. You're married to Kirk Cousins for quite some time. And I mean, I guess you would get something to help the defense realistically. That secondary is really bad, which in this day and age in the NFL, you're not going to be able to keep up with teams if you have a bad secondary. I kind of thought Adam Thielen would fall off this year. He was a little bit injury prone. I always viewed him as the lesser of the two of the Diggs and him pairing. I would sell him right now just because he's having another monster year. And I don't love the long-term future there. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, Thielen's a stud. I've never been willing to pay what he's worth, so I'd definitely sell him right now. But I don't know. He could. I think he'll continue to be good for the next 3 years at least.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote, I'm not buying or selling anybody at their current prices because I feel like they're like super jacked up. I know that Dalvin Cook, I don't think he's going to be out this week, but he got dinged up this game as well. And it just seems like he's always one step away from like missing you an important game, being out for a 4-game stretch. last year he was on the sidelines for the fantasy playoffs. Yeah. And a guy who can't handle a whole season, I feel like they just shouldn't be ranked as high.
Yeah, and it was a miracle he made it through as much of last season as he did. Like, that was the first time, right?
Yeah, I mean, he tore an ACLs. I'm not quite sure of his entire injury history, but he's missed quite a bit of time with injuries. You know, I think we have to acknowledge the Justin Jefferson game. Put up monster stats this week. If you played him in daily fantasy football, I'm sure you're really quite happy with that. But like the potential there for sure. But I'm like, nobody's going to move on from him right now. Like, they just got him. He's showing the potential. You're going to pay probably more today than you would have if you just tried to acquire him in the draft, right?
Yeah.
Anybody else there in Minnesota you want to talk about?
Not really. I think we covered it.
Let's cover, what do we got left for winless teams? We got Atlanta and Cincinnati. Let's do those and then let's move back to the good teams. Atlanta. Matt Ryan is just going to get you points for a while, it feels like. It just seems like they're going to have to constantly throw the ball, especially with how bad Todd Gurley looks. I think you're starting to look at a razor-thin line on Julio Jones's return where it just starts declining kind of rapidly because I think people have been waiting for it for so long. So when they finally start seeing signs of it, that people are just going to be like, nope, not giving you a proper return, even if there's two more seasons of him.
Yeah.
I think if they shift away from Gurley to Brian Hill, who had a touchdown this past week, and I believe I saw in our league, he was projected to get about 6 points, which means ESPN is kind of projecting that he's going to see a bigger role in that backfield. And I have to agree. What do you think?
I think Brian Hill looks really, really good. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, I think Brian Hill looks really, really good. And Gurley was definitely much better this week. He had 80 yards and a touchdown on 14 attempts, which it wasn't that bad.
One of them a really long run though?
Yeah, he had some decent runs. I think the most maybe he got was like 20 or 30 yards. I don't think it was like a mega. Like, I don't think he ran. It was all 80 yards in one go. But I thought he looked okay. They didn't really pass to him much though, which I thought was kind of, maybe they've given up on passing to him.
Do you think that they're not passing to him because he isn't good anymore, or it's because the combination of Ridley and Julio is so good and then Hurst and Gage is pretty good, mm-hmm. and that on passing plays, like, even though he's not bad, that he still might just kind of be the fifth best option?
Yeah, and maybe they haven't gotten to a point in their playbook where they really have pulled that out yet, although I mean they've lost games at the very end, so it's not like they're trying to win games at the end. So maybe they still have parts of their playbook they haven't pulled out.
I suppose, but you'd have to think that if they were able to win games right now, it'd be really helpful to be able to grind out some clock with Gurley.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I don't think they can do, and that's why I kind of think Brian Hill's the guy. If you listened last week and pursued Brian Hill, I think you're a happy camper.
Yeah, definitely.
And I you know, it's funny. I remember when we were doing the preview, I kind of had like a lengthy write-up for Russell Gage and we got to it, and I was like, we don't need to talk to about Russell Gage this much, and maybe now's the time to talk about it. He looks like a really good third receiver there, like capable of maybe being a wide receiver three flex, bye week type guy. Maybe get better on your bench and eventually become like a pretty solid, legitimate player.
Yeah, definitely. I think he looks real good. And Julio, if he takes a step backwards, they might start leaning on him even more. I mean, Julio dropped that ball last week that like he never would have dropped. Like he was wide open.
Yeah.
I don't know. That
doesn't seem like him, but I also don't think that would be like because of decline in ability so much as even the greats over their like 10-year career or whatever, you know, however long he's been in it, like eventually you're just gonna screw up. Like that's just life.
Yeah, that's true. But if he had caught that, his numbers would look so much better right now.
Oh, for sure. And there were a lot of dropped touchdowns this week, or even like DK Metcalf had that.
What an idiot.
He had like an 8-point swing. Should have had a touchdown. Ends up losing 2 points on the fumble. So there's been a lot of dropped touchdowns, I feel, this year, which is maybe an indicator of the no preseason.
Yeah.
All right, let's move to Cincy. Last bad team, 0-3. AJ Green's done, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I know we had said – if you had AJ Green, you're probably riding him out for the rest of his career. Maybe he's just the throw-in in a trade, but I don't love that they have a really tough schedule going forward. But it's very, very promising how much throwing work they're giving Burrow.
Yeah, and towards the end of the season, they're going to have a pretty good playoff schedule.
Right. Well, I mean, they have the third hardest remaining schedule, according to a tweet Mike Clay put out yesterday.
Hmm. Yeah, Pro Football Focus has them as one of the best playoff schedules.
So I guess there's conflicting reports based on what's Mr. Clay, but I think you're just gonna have to go through your lumps with somebody like Burrow. But it does seem as though they have a coach that they seem to like. He looks good. I don't think. Well, I've never been a big Joe Mixon guy. I don't think he's as bad as he's been. I love the idea of Boyd and Higgins being the wide receiver core there. It'd be nice to see them, maybe get a tight end in the offseason and, you know, just keep in the front seven's pretty good there. Like, I think they're an 0-3 team, but there's a lot of promise for next year. And if you're buying guys on that team, that you might not get your return quite yet, but you got to feel good about that core, that offense.
Absolutely. And I mean, Joe Burrow is a rookie quarterback this year and he's doing pretty well and he might develop further across the season. So you might not even have to wait till next year.
Right. And I mean, they're giving him all the opportunities to grow and it doesn't seem as though, you know, and he hasn't given them any reason to, pull him.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to, a undefeated team, but that I actually think is kind of bad, which is the Chicago Bears. I think they're 3-0 and probably still don't make the playoffs. The quarterback shuffle's not going to do them any good.
Yeah.
If you have to bench your quarterback in week 3, you bring a guy in who kind of lucked into winning the game, but he wasn't ever really good enough. Eventually you're going to probably pull him, put the other guy back in. You're not going to just keep like this carousel going and have it be a fantasy relevant option, nor a real life, good choice.
Yeah. And they have one of the better offensive lines. Their offensive line's playing really, really well. And their quarterback play has just not been good at all. And I think some of those throws that Foles made against a better secondary, those would have been interceptions. I don't think they would have come back against a team that wasn't the Falcons.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the 3-0 is a total misnomer. I think they could be 1-2, and that wouldn't be crazy at all. I do like David Montgomery so far, especially now that, you know, he was already a pretty high volume guy, and Tariq Cohen getting injured might mean him getting more opportunities in the passing downs. And that just means good things for Montgomery owners because, you know, even if he kind of just fails on them, at least he's getting them now. You know, if it's a PPR league and he's catching the ball for, you know, negative 2 yards and he gets tackled, but you get a point for everyone, that's still 0.8 points. Allen Robinson, I know that there was dispute whether or not he wanted a new contract. I buy him low because he's excelled with terrible quarterbacks, and he is also, if he leaves, there's no way he's going to go to a worse situation, right? Like, I can't imagine he goes and signs with the football team of Washington or the Jets.
Or the Jets. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's a really good wide receiver. I don't know. I don't know why they're not giving him a contract. I guess they don't think they can win.
I mean, that has to be it. Like, they just don't want to commit money to him when they know that the quarterback position's terrible. All right, let's stay NFC North. The Packers are still 3-0. I think this is a little bit scary. Just because I know Rodgers is playing with a chip on his shoulder, but I kind of still think that this wide receiver core between Adams' inability to stay healthy the past 2 years, MVS just dropping balls, Alan Lazard looked really good. And I kind of think that maybe Davante Adams sat out this week because he is not actually truly hurt, but because he is, you know, they kind of just want him for a longer run and they'd rather him sit out a game now than miss 4 or 5 in the next bit. What do you think?
Yeah, I am a little worried about Adams, but I mean, I'd like to have Adams or Rodgers or Lazard until they show that they're going to fall apart. I think this is a really good offense. And I'd rather take a chance on them and have it pay out than not take a chance on them and like watch someone else like succeed because Aaron Rodgers has one of the best years of his career. I don't know.
Right. So when we were looking at players who could greatly overachieve their average draft position, you know, trying to predict the future. Hilariously, Aaron Jones was one that I said, I guess he could do it again because he did it last year. People slid him back.
Yeah.
He's doing it again this year. I think he is the type of guy who is going to absolutely win you weeks, and you just hope that those 40 points come in a game that you're going to win by 3 points, not the ones that you win by 50, because there are going to be those games where you're going to lose by 3, and it's because he had 6 points.
Yeah.
It's interesting. He's the one big running back without a contract still. Big capital spent to acquire A.J. Dillon in this year's draft, but he's been a non-factor. Would you still be a guy looking to acquire A.J. Dillon right now?
It's definitely a little harder because it doesn't seem like he's going to get a chance anytime soon. But yeah, I guess I'd probably still invest in AJ Dillon. I wasn't that high on him, but I mean, finding running backs is really hard, and I liked him more than like I liked a few of those other running backs that went around where he went.
Yeah, I just think right now, if anything, if you drafted him, unless you're in like a real pinch and you're trying to make a move to move up, maybe you draft him late first round, late second round, depending upon your format. Maybe he's the trade piece that you have to throw in to make your team win it this year. But
sure,
he's almost shown so little that it's impossible to gauge him, that you're essentially selling on the fact that you haven't seen him.
Yeah.
Anybody else there you want to talk about? You want to talk about those tight ends that are probably just irrelevant? Or should we just leave them as irrelevant?